Good morning. It is a good morning because Christ is risen. You know, it strikes me that you've often been exhorted from 1 Corinthians 13 in 15, 20-minute increments, haven't you? But if we add all of the time up that we're going to be spending in 1 Corinthians 13, four verses, it'll be almost 3 hours of exhortation time that we'll have just in these verses. So praise God for His Word. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll read from verse 1 through 5. And what we're going to be talking about this morning is that love thinketh no evil. It does strike me how much we as Christians think upon evil, oftentimes under the guise of being wise. We want to be wise and we want to avoid evil. And so we talk about it, we think about it, sometimes we touch it, and we really deal with it quite a lot. And so let us read now the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am becoming as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. This phrase, thinketh no evil, logizomai o karus. Logizomai o karus. Logizomai occurs 41 times in the King James New Testament. It's a verb. It means to think or to count or to account. Sometimes you'll see it translated as impute or to reckon, to suppose, to reason, to conclude. This kind of thinking has more to do with fact-finding than it does wondering or thinking of suspiciously. In Romans 4, the word is used 11 times when discussing the righteousness that the Lord has imputed to us, or that He has counted Abraham as righteous. In verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it was logizomai, or counted unto him for righteousness. And then the word o, of course, is not, thinketh not, kakos, is an adjective used 51 times in the King James New Testament and translated 43 times as the word evil. A few other times as harm or ill or bad, and once even as noisome. The word means not right. It means wrong. It's harmful, injurious, destructive. In Acts 16:28, this familiar passage, you'll remember there was a great earthquake in Philippi, and Paul and his fellow gospel workers were imprisoned, and this earthquake occurred, and it shook the doors open, and all of their shackles were loosened. And you'll remember the guard. He saw all of this, and he readied his sword to run himself through, because he was an unworthy soldier. An unworthy guard, seeing what had happened. But Paul cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no kakous, do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Also, Paul uses this adjective in Romans 1, verse 30, where he's talking about the reprobate mind that God has given some over to. And he says that these are inventors of kakos, inventors of evil. These are ones who meditate and premeditate how they can do evil or what evil things are. They sit around and consider evil and make things up that might be evil, make things up that would be harmful, make things up that would be wrong or injurious, causing harm. These are people who dream up wickedness. The exhortation here is that love does not reckon evil or harm. It is not loving to think about evil or harm. It is rather loving to reckon good or consider what is good. I do not suppose that this is an excuse to call evil good, to smooth it over. I had been approached in a parking lot the other day by a man who would fix my horrible dent in the back of my truck. And so I took the bait, and it was really cold out. And so he worked on it a little bit, and he smoothed things up while I was having a rare lunch with my wife. And he took wax and he covered it up and made it look really smooth and said he was using the wax to protect the bodywork underneath. And so that is sort of like making something appear good that is really evil. As I rubbed off the wax, it was about an inch thick underneath. And so this is sometimes what we do in an effort to not think about evil. We take something that is evil and we paste over it to make it look good, don't we? To give it that appearance. And it is not the truth. And so it is the duty of a loving Christian to think on the good part of what is true and perhaps discard the rest as not useful for meditation. So it's not that we can only think on good things and call evil good, but we have to think on what is true as well. This is Philippians 4:8. But we have to divide what is true between what is good and what is evil. And the Bible calls us to think on the good part of the truth. That is what we ought to meditate on. Not that we don't acknowledge the evil. And so we do this by a few ways, and I'll beat this drum again, Colossians 3:1-3. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. This is the truth, brothers and sisters. This is the word of God. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. This is the truth. Loving is not an emotion of passion. It is most often a choice, even a choice of sacrifice. And so as you consider where to place your affections, choose this day to place your affections upon Christ. Also Philippians 4:8. Choose to think on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let everything else fall through the sifter. Don't hold it in the sifter. Don't use that in your dough. It takes a bit of self-control, but also being alive in Christ and His Spirit to keep your mind to this filter, sifting out what is evil and laying a hold of what is good. It is helpful to become familiar with the Word of God. It's not only helpful, it's commanded in the Bible. It's what Christians do. We dwell upon the Word of God, and young people, hear me on this. It is helpful to become familiar with the Word of God, for these are the words of life for you and always will be. Hebrews 5:13-14, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we have our senses exercised in this. The toddler knows that the stove is hot after he touches it, I pray, one time. Sometimes it's three or four times. But I pray even after one time that the toddler knows that that stove is hot, and that the next time he walks by, he doesn't give it much thought. He's not very curious about the stove. He doesn't go meditating upon the stove and its hot heat and how it hurts those fingers when you touch it. He walks by. He'll go get into another cupboard. And hopefully he'll learn and have his senses trained there as well. But this is what we do with evil, brothers and sisters. We become mature in the Word of God, and we're able to discern what is good and evil, and we don't just sit there and look at what is evil and think about it and talk about it and converse about it after worship or other times. This is not what is filling our time. We're rather over here, and we're saying, okay, that's evil. I'm going to go over here and go, wow, that is good. That is good. That is true. That is lovely. That is noble. That is worthy of praise and excellent. That exalts the name of Jesus. And so these are the things that we're considering and thinking on. And so we're not thinking upon evil. We're thinking upon the good. And brothers and sisters, it's sad to me how much time we spend thinking and conversing upon what is evil. It almost seems noble that we're able to discern and call out what is evil and to point out the evil. And so we spend more time talking about the evil than we do all of the good, the eternal weight of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do not consider these things and let that truth fall upon us. We don't marinate in those things. And when we marinate upon evil, brothers and sisters, it affects our soul. It erodes at our soul, at our every being, like cancer eating cells one at a time. It's a slow but true certain death when we think upon evil. And so let us love one another and think no evil. Let us not scheme about wicked things. We need to train our children in this way too. We don't laugh at them when they scheme of something wicked. Let us not fill our mind as we are being entertained with the mixing up and the confusing of good and evil. Dwelling upon a man being murdered with gruesome detail is not my idea of a loving Christian kind of thought. Or dwelling upon adulterous flings, or thieving and robbery. These are not godly things, brothers and sisters. Why do we give our time to dwell upon these things? They're harmful. Again, they will eat away at your integrity. They will eat away at your loyalty and your love for God, like cancer. They will erode your relationship with God and eat it away. And if we're thinking upon evil and harm, because love thinketh not evil, how is it that we can love the Lord our God with all of our heart and mind and soul? And how is it, brothers and sisters, that we can love one another? Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we are terribly convicted by your word this morning. Father, how much time, precious thought that we give away to thinking upon evil, to thinking upon harmful things, thinking upon things that cause injury, even things like adultery and fornication, even things like harming a brother or sister physically. Father, we do this for our own gratification. And Lord, we find that we have been numbed by these things, that our relationship has been put on ice because we spend so much time thinking upon these things. And God, as we desire to grow closer to you, oh, Father, I pray that you would help us to put off this thinking on evil. Oh, God, we confess to you that we spent much of our waking hours and even our dreams are filled with wicked thoughts and evil. And, Father, we confess to you that we are given to these things. And sometimes we are even trapped by these thoughts. And we are held captive by them. Father, our relationship with you has grown cold. Our relationships even with one another, as our brother mentioned earlier, our love is waxing cold with our love for one another and even the homeless and even those who are reprobate. Father, our love has grown cold and we don't even know how to love these folks. Oh God, would you help us? Would you help us to put off these thoughts and to put on thoughts of Christ sitting at the right hand of God, that our affections would be set there, that we would choose to love Christ this day. Father, would you renew our minds by the washing the water of your word? Oh Father, would you help us to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Help us to know your word. Help us to get to the meat of your word, to grow up from the milk of your word to the meat of your word, that we would be able to discern what is good and what is evil. And God, we repent of mixing evil up with good and calling one the other. Oh, Father in heaven, would you help us to discern what is evil and what is good? And would you help us, oh God, this day to meditate, to think upon that which is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and whatsoever things are praiseworthy and excellent. Father, would you help our minds to be filled with these things? Oh God, would you help us, oh Lord, fill us with your Spirit? Oh God, and I pray that we would even have the courage and the faith to exhort one another in this way, that we would be able to help each other to think on goodness and truth, that our affections would be set upon the things that are above. Oh God, help us too to be discerning and wise, to avoid evil, to avoid harm. Oh Father, would you give us your wisdom? Oh Father, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins, and now we take a moment to confess our own personal sins to you.